Hour number three, Four's Company, here on New Year's Eve. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you for the next 90 minutes. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Still talking Titans here into hour number three. It seems like we've exhausted people with Shedeur Sanders. Let's move on. If you are anti-Shedeur Sanders.
What a waste of airtime, guys.
If you are anti-Shedeur Sanders and don't want him to be the quarterback of the Titans, what is your plan at quarterback? Can we all agree that picking Cam Ward in the top two would be a bad idea?
Yep, 100%.
Do not. Okay, good. I am with you there. So, let's say the Titans, they don't like Shedeur Sanders. Picking first or second, they trade out. You don't pick a quarterback this year. Who is the guy in free agency that you think makes the most sense for the Titans to go get to be a bridge guy for when the Titans eventually do draft who they think is the quarterback of the future?
I like Justin Fields. I really do. I think that would be an investment. I think you would put some money into that. I don't think he would take what Mason Rudolph is making right now. I think
not that little.
Be a little bit more than that. But I like him as a bridge guy. I think he would fit into a system well as a run quarterback. Yeah, you'd have to build up your offensive line to make sure he could take off and run. But I like Justin Fields. I think that would be an interesting investment. If you had to hold me to one quarterback in free agency, I think that's who I'd go with.
Fields scares me for one reason, and I told TD this, and TD didn't agree with me. But I worry about Justin Fields for the fool's gold of what if he comes in here on, let's say, a one-year $10 million deal, intended to be a bridge quarterback. But let's say he has a really good season, and Titans go 9-8, right on the edge of the playoffs, might get in, might not. He has a good season, looks like he is starting to finally ascend. Then the Titans have to pay him. That's what I worry about, is that you invest in Justin Fields like he's a franchise quarterback, but even if Justin Fields does get better, he is never going to be in the stratosphere of Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. And playing in the AFC, at least for the foreseeable future, if you want to go to the Super Bowl, you need a quarterback like that, because you're going to face those guys in the playoffs every single year. I don't think Justin Fields will ever compete with those guys, and I'm a little bit worried about if you bring in Fields and he shows you a little bit, that you do what you did with Tannehill and you give him a 3 or 4 year deal, and then you're stuck
off
with him for a couple of years. I like the idea of a true bridge quarterback, and that would be, for me, Cousins, Rodgers, Carr.
I do not want Aaron Rodgers.
I don't either.
I don't want Aaron Rodgers for the off-the-field stuff. I think he would be too distracting. But
I don't want him for the on-the-field stuff. He's been awful this year.
Even with a bad offensive line, he has not played great this year.
He's been awful.
He's older now.
He had a 1.1 QB rating the other day.
If I'm being 100% honest, for these bridge guys, I don't care what the on-field product is. You are there to fill a gap for a year.
He's got a point. It's slim pickings in the quarterback market this year. You either get a bridge guy like that or you draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, and that's about it.
Here's the thing. Jake Lyman said it best. It's a bridge quarterback that you just don't care what they do out on the field. That's why you go for a low-budget stopgap quarterback.
And that's what – if Rand Carthon comes back for another year, he has to improve. So he's got to get a guy that he knows is going – to at least give you a chance. So Rodgers maybe wouldn't be the best. I bet it's – if Carthon comes back and he doesn't want to take Shedeur Sanders, I bet it's Derek Carr.
I can see that.
I can totally see that.
Brian Callahan coached Derek Carr with the Raiders, and I think Derek Carr gives you a chance if you put the right pieces around him to be competitive, which is, again, if Rand Carthon comes back, he's got to win. They got to win at least 8 games for him to keep his job, I would think. Because, like, you can't go 9-25. That'll be his 2-year record, 9-25, and then have another season that is below 500 and keep your job. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So he's got to find somebody competitive. I think Derek Carr fits that mold. But if I'm being honest, if you bring in a bridge quarterback, I really don't care how well he performs. Either he gets you moving in the right direction, you build a winning culture, which is great, or he's terrible and you draft high again and you can take Arch Manning or Drew Aller or whoever you end up like.
Drew Aller.
I don't know. I'm in the camp of a cheaper stopgap quarterback, and obviously Vols fans will go nuts when I say this, but and I mentioned it during the break. Honestly, maybe a Josh Dobbs. He's been here before.
Yeah, we saw him last night for a little bit.
It's what, $2.2 million is what his market value is for right now for a one-year deal. I mean, he knows systems really well, worked for NASA, smart guy. I mean, he can do it all with his feet and his arm.
Stop spitting in the faces of Vols fans and bring in a...
Well, this is Tennessee radio, buddy.
Sorry. I mean,
there are plenty of I've seen plenty of Hendon Hooker to the Titans calls on
Twitter.
Can
we stop that?
I've talked about it enough. We don't even need to get into it. I shouldn't have even brought it up. there are two texters with almost identical text messages back to back. Tim and an unnamed texter. If you don't care about the results, then why not go with Levis?
Yeah.
And I agreed with that until the Bengals game. I was fully on board with, if you don't think you have a quarterback of the future this offseason that you can go get, why not let Levis start another year? But it's just been so bad. You can't run him out there another year. No one's going to show up to the games.
Well, I think in benching him, you said, yeah, we're done. This isn't working. It's not you, it's us.
When he was hurt.
It is you.
Yeah, 100% it's him. Like, it's definitely that weird relationship.
Well, it was the old breakup cliche that we've all heard.
Over text. Over phone call, yeah. I mean, once he was subbed out in the Miami game, obviously for his AC joint injury.
Yeah.
That's when, and I'll give credit to Derek Mason because he was the one that mentioned this before the week started. Once you make the move to Mason Rudolph, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
You have lost all consistency in that offense. Sure enough, Mason Rudolph goes out there and, what, throws 209 yards that game, something like that?
Yeah, north something of 200. Like that. Yeah.
So, like, every time he goes on the field, that offense is moving the ball. Nonetheless, there are turnovers involved, but with Will Levis, the man's barely breaking 100. And we're not talking to bowling. We're not talking bowling. The man's barely breaking 100 yards throwing the ball.
Well, let me use that same question.
All right.
If you don't care about results, why not trot Mason Rudolph out there?
I'm okay
well,
with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, one of the texters mentioned that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't care about results, but when you have a bridge quarterback in there, you're kind of rolling the dice of just saying, like, hey, it might get better, it might not. There's not much you can do at that point. Teams with bridge quarterbacks rarely are good. Like, look at the Raiders with Gardner Minshew this year. They did the same thing of, hey, this guy's had some success. Let's bring him in, see what he can do. You know, Aiden O'Connell, we don't really feel great about him being the starter. And the Raiders have been awful. They've won back-to-back games and ruined their chances of getting a quarterback this year. But it's if Will Levis starts again next year, you are basically saying you don't want the fans to come to your games. So you've got to bring in either a veteran or a rookie. If you don't like the rookie, I think it's got to be a veteran bridge guy who you know you're moving on from after 1 year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's reverse psychology, too. Maybe you put Will Levis out there, nobody shows up. That first year in the stadium, you get a really good quarterback. Everybody's there. Maybe that is the tactic they're using. I don't know.
There probably is not, almost a 0% chance Will Levis starts for the Titans at all next year.
There's
would
a
say
low chance he's even on the roster.
Right. I'd say the chances he's on the roster is sub 50% at this point. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got plenty of interaction on this. We'll keep talking about this coming up next. Who are some veteran options the Titans could go with if they don't want to take a rookie quarterback? Because you have to improve, or Callahan and Carthon and everybody's going to lose their jobs. But you also, I don't think, can commit long-term to any of these guys in free agency. Continue to chime in. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Special New Year's Eve edition this morning of Four's Company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. Just over an hour left in the show. Again, coming up after us, the ReliaQuest Bowl, Alabama and Michigan. Pregame coverage starts at 10:30. We are diving in on the Titans quarterback situation right now. Last hour, we spent a lot of time on the rookies. And if the Titans end up picking first or second, would they take Shedeur Sanders? We all kind of agreed that if he's there, you kind of have to, right? Like, if you have a guy you think is the franchise quarterback, you have to at least take a shot on it. You only pick in the top two so many times. But let's say the Titans either win on Sunday and move themselves out of that position, or they don't like Sanders, they trade back. You have to get a veteran bridge guy. Who stands out? And we've had a lot of options out there. One that we haven't talked about, and Jared put this on Twitter yesterday, or sorry, 2 days ago, when the Titans lost to him, Mac Jones. Thoughts on Mac Jones as a possible bridge quarterback?
I'm for it. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but like you said, don't care about results, throw him out there. Plus, he's cheap. Yeah. Trot him out there. He'll cost you, what, $2 million, $3 million? Not that much.
Yeah. He might be a little more after the recent success he had with Jacksonville, right? I'd say right in the $4 million range.
But you could get him cheap, and he'd be a guy that kind of in the Justin Fields way, like he's young enough that you feel like there might still be some growth to be had there. It's not like a Derek Carr where you know what Derek Carr is.
Yeah.
Derek Carr is not going to turn into a new quarterback overnight. And Mac Jones probably won't either, but he's young enough that you could still see some progression from him. I wouldn't hate it. I'm still I think you go older and a proven commodity because, again, whoever is making the picks, Brian Callahan's coaching for his job next year. Like,
yeah.
You can't go 4-13 next year and get a third season. That just doesn't happen in the NFL anymore. There's not enough patience on coaches and general managers that, hey, you can have two really, really bad seasons and come back. So they've got to find somebody who can compete or at least gives you hope. That's why with Shedeur, you get a little more leeway. Even if you go 6-11, as long as he's progressing, I think you're going to get another chance. But if you bring in Mac Jones and you go 4-13, you're getting fired.
Yeah.
So that's the risk that you take if you bring in a guy who's kind of unproven like that, where
kind of along those lines. How'd you feel about Kenny Pickett?
No.
Yeah. You saw his play the other day and just said no.
Will Levis moment of the week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
His spirit lives on.
I'm not saying I'm for the idea or this idea is going to happen, but there's a connection because Mac Jones' offensive coordinator is Press Taylor, who's Zach Taylor's brother. Brian Callahan came from the Zach Taylor tree. Again, it's just a connection. I'm not saying I'm for the idea or against it or whatever, but I'm kind of with Jake. I am tired of, maybe there's a little something there. You know, these project quarterbacks, I want somebody who's experienced and more established.
Right. And, I worry about the fool's gold with some of these young quarterbacks. If they have a Sam Darnold-type year, I think the Vikings, as good as they've been this season – and Sam Darnold has been awesome. It's been great watching him play. I think if the Vikings sign Sam Darnold to a long year, it's going to set their franchise back. Mm. Like, if they sign him to a four-year deal, they're going to be set back. Not saying I think J.J. McCarthy's the guy, but I think it's fool's gold with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I don't think that he can win you a Super Bowl.
No.
Even in the NFC, you've got a better chance. But I just think in the playoffs coming up, whether they're the 1 seed or the 5 seed, facing a team like the Eagles, I can't see Sam Darnold just carrying his team to victory. And especially if he got to the Super Bowl, which would be, that's what you hope for. But
yeah,
he's not going to outduel Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want the Titans to run into that where you sign a guy and you think, oh, wow, man, he looked really good. Let's commit to him.
Yeah.
Then you're setting your franchise back 3 years.
What are the chances that the Colts sign Joe Flacco back to another like 1 year deal.
I don't know, but that would be another good option.
Because I'm okay with that. And yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think he'll be asking for $4.5 million.
No, he's a guy who kind of just wants to keep playing, I think.
Yeah, I think if there's a team out there that would, you know, entertain his company, then sure. And I think that'd be a place the Titans might look at. It would be Joe Flacco. I mean, you'd be crazy not to, right?
Yeah, and the good news with all of this is free agency comes before the draft. So we're going to get the hand is going to be shown before the draft wherever the Titans pick. If the Titans really don't make a move at quarterback, you can kind of see, all right, they're going to go Shadur or Cam Ward. But let's say they do go sign Derek Carr. That could be a sign that they want to move back. But it's also tough for the Titans because you kind of lose your leverage at that point, right? Like, you can't use the threat of, oh, well, we might just take the quarterback anyway if you go sign Derek Carr to a $10 million deal. Maybe you can, but it's an interesting balance that the Titans are going to have to work through once the offseason rolls around.
They're
going
to have a really good poker hand. I mean, we're talking pocket aces. We're talking just the... I'm not going to use the term they use in poker, but, you know, they got to have pocket aces to really fool somebody. And
well, getting the number one pick is how you get pocket aces.
Well, no, I'm talking about, like, if you were to sign a bridge quarterback
in
comparison to like, the whole draft situation. Like, you got to play your cards right, and, I mean, has to be perfect.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep this conversation rolling when we come back. What else can the Titans do in the offseason to set themselves up for a better year in 2025? Because they need it. Again, as much as you want to say, you know, the team should tank and go get Arch Manning or whoever it is, this coaching staff, the front office, they're playing for their jobs, and the Titans have to show progress in 2025. How do they do that? We'll keep talking about that coming up next. Special New Year's Eve edition, Force Company, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. A reminder that the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game will start off with the ReliaQuest Bowl, Alabama taking on Michigan. Coverage starting right after us at 10:30, followed by South Carolina versus Illinois in the Citrus Bowl. And later on tonight on 94.9 The Fan, catch the college football playoff quarterfinal as Penn State and Boise State square off at 6:30. For a full list of all the college football games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. Four's Company here on this New Year's Eve with you till 10:30. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and Parker Kelly. We're still talking Titans as they head into their Week 18 matchup against the Texans. And we've talked about it. The Titans are in a position with the way things have gone. The Raiders have won a couple of games. The Giants beat the Colts this week. The Titans losing to the Jaguars. All of a sudden, Tennessee, with a loss on Sunday, guarantees that they will pick in the top two. And it just came out, Sean McDermott, in his weekly press conference for the Bills, confirming that Josh Allen will play very, very, very limited snaps on Sunday. I think the expectation is because he wants to continue his long start streak, is that it's maybe a series. Wouldn't shock me if it's just a play. And then we see Mitch Trubisky. So, with the Texans kind of reeling a little bit, maybe wanting some momentum, D'Amico Ryans has already confirmed that everybody's going to play. I wonder if there's an outside shot that the Titans end up with the number one overall pick, and all of the talk we've done the last couple of segments would be for naught, because if you're number one, you're probably going quarterback. But if you don't like the quarterback, we've gone through some options as bridge guys for the Titans. What else can you do for this Titans team to put yourself in a position to get back to being competitive next year? Because quarterback isn't the only hole on this team. There are plenty of other spots the Titans need to upgrade.
I may have an idea. I mentioned to you before the break, the show, excuse me. It's already been that long. But you trade out of that number two, number one overall spot. You acquire a lot of picks. What about Dylan Gabriel? I listened to you.
We just had a texter.
I listened to you and TD about a month ago, and I'm just thinking in my head that the more and more I talk about it, the more and more I'm convincing myself. But I went back and watched his tape from UCF, Oklahoma, and now Oregon. His release is super quick. He's precise on a lot of his stuff. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the draft, but for the situation the Titans are in, I think that's probably your best, not gamble, but your best option in the later rounds, because you're able to still acquire maybe another tackle. And, like, obviously we talked about this earlier too, but, like, say J.C. Latham, they move him back to right tackle, and you go grab another left tackle in the draft or something like that, then you've kind of – filled out majority of your offensive line. You just got to fill out that right guard spot. And then from there, you fill in all the other holes you have, if it's an edge rusher or if it's maybe another linebacker or something. Like, you're able to fill those voids at a more relaxed pace.
I just don't see it on Dillon Gabriel. Really? There are guys that are perennial college quarterbacks, great college quarterbacks, and that don't translate to the NFL because they're just college quarterbacks. Dillon Gabriel is that to me. There's nothing about his game that makes me go, that's an NFL player.
Somebody's going to take a chance on him, though.
Yeah, he's like a Joe Milton to me. Like, someone,
but kind of like the opposite.
Yeah, it doesn't
of
have
Joe,
the arm strength.
Like,
but like
short. I agree with what you're saying. He's a guy that...
He's a college quarterback.
Right.
He's a guy that'll win you games in college, and someone will probably take a flyer on him when
fourth,
they see him
fifth
in, the,
round.
In the combine. But he's not a starter. I don't think he's an NFL caliber quarterback.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of, maybe I'm just doing this because he's short, but a little bit of Russell Wilson to him.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you're picking a quarterback in this draft, it's got to be your first pick. You've already tried the, let's take a late flyer on a quarterback. You did it with Malik Willis. You did it with Will Levis. Not that 33rd overall is late, but trying to take a mid-round flyer on a quarterback who slipped down the board. We've tried that. It hasn't worked out for the Titans.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to commit to a young guy as your quarterback of the future, you got to do it early.
Dillon Gabriel's game doesn't really translate to the NFL level.
Yep.
Just because his strength is his accuracy, but he lacks in size, arm strength, and he's not as mobile. He's mobile, but he's not as mobile as some of these other
guys.
Right,
he's not Kyler Murray, who can get away with
exactly.
being 5'10".
He nope. is a college quarterback.
There'll be no Kyler Murray slander, ever.
Oh, but you could slander the Vols. Yeah. Oh, no Kyler Murray slander. By God.
Go, fight, go,
Are you
do
kidding
it.
Me? Come on now. This is Tennessee Radio. Tennessee Radio.
Tennessee Radio.
We're on here the trashing balls. The Vols on Tennessee Radio.
I saw a tweet about Kyler Murray the other day that made me giggle. It was like, how come they just stick Kyler Murray to be the worst quarterback in the NFL in the 4 o'clock spot every week and no one talks about it?
he was great before Black Ops 6
yeah,
came
before
out.
Call of
yeah,
Duty
yeah.
came out. He's slipped back to earth since then. I think I'm out on Gabriel.
Really?
This quarterback class, if you believe in Sanders and Ward, then I think those guys are first-round picks. There's not really anybody else I would even consider until...
Not even DJ Uiagalelei?
You pronounce that so good.
Thank you.
Uiagalelei. Yeah, I don't... I think that's... He could be a sixth or seventh-round pick.
He declared. Someone's going to take a chance on him, I'm telling you.
Jackson Dart.
The thing I can't...
Yeah, like a sixth-round pick right there.
I can't wrap my head around this. Like, if this is me, obviously, if you're wrapping your head around, well, if you're going to get rid of the first overall pick or second overall pick and trade back for picks, you've already come to the realization of you're not going to get a quarterback, obviously, at the earlier rounds. You can fix majority of your stuff during the draft, like fix all your holes you have. Whereas you could just pick a flyer on a quarterback. I'm okay with that. Because you look at the product you mentioned earlier, whatever the product on the field is, it's not going to change anything, in my opinion.
I'm not okay with taking a flyer.
I am. What is this?
We've done that.
What does this franchise have to play for the next 3 years? Absolutely nothing.
But what could help your team more in the fifth round? Dillon Gabriel or a depth guy at edge or wide receiver? Like, those guys are going to play more, whether it's on special teams. If you take a quarterback in the fifth round, he's probably going to be a healthy scratch every single game.
Yep. That's your emergency third every week.
I'm just not on the Shador Sanders train. I'm going to be straight up with you.
I get it, Nick. And as much as I think trading back, as we saw in 2016, trading back out of the number one pick can be one of the fastest ways to get your team turned around. How many times do you see a team that has the number one overall pick and needs a quarterback trade out of it? It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't. You're right. It doesn't. But, like, the thing is if your head coach Brian Callahan was looked at as a quarterback guru coming into hiring with the Titans, and you have Will Levis along for the ride, like, of course you're going to be hyping up the Will Levis train. Exactly. But if you're supposedly a quarterback guru, take any quarterback. Turn him into touchdown Jesus up there at Notre Dame. Turn him into anything.
Will Levis isn't one of those quarterbacks, though, that a quarterback guru can turn around.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not a game manager. Like, he's not Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
He is the opposite of a game manager. Will Levis is going to make the throw that only five people in the world can make, but then he is going to make the absolute worst decision you've ever seen in your life. That's the opposite of what Shanahan and McVay and all these guys need for their offense. As much as I'm not in love with the idea of Shedeur Sanders being the franchise quarterback, if you have the number one or number two overall pick, like, it just doesn't happen that quarterback needy teams trade away that pick, because quarterback needy teams are trying to come up for that pick.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen. I understand that the Titans don't have a ton of draft capital, and picking up an extra first and an extra second and moving back eight spots would be great for this franchise. Yeah. It just doesn't happen.
I get it. I understand. I mean, Amy's probably listening, thinking, yeah, my money's it's running a little dry. I got to bring in Shedeur.
No, Amy doesn't have local radio out there.
She has Houston local radio.
I forgot.
She's listening to the Texans radio.
I just hate that the money is ruining just things in general, especially with football. I don't know. That's just me. Just this Titans team, they have nothing to play for. They just it's a bottom-feeding team on the bottom of the barrel. I just can't. It's hard to watch. I'm stuttering my words. They make me sad. They really do. This franchise makes me so sad.
It's made me sad the last couple of weeks since I heard that the Titans have not won back-to-back games since the second week I moved to Nashville. I've been here for over 2 years now. The last time the Titans won back-to-back games was a five-day span. They beat the Broncos at home. They beat the Packers on Thursday Night Football. And have not won consecutive games. I was considering making a joke there.
Playing party.
It's a Todd Downing game.
Yeah.
The one that will go down in
Titans went to 7-3, and honestly, they should have been 8-2 because Travis Kelce ripped off Josh Kalu's helmet on that 2-point conversion, and Kalu got called for holding. Should have been 8-2. And ended up finishing the season 7-10. And it's been all downhill from there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're talking Titans. The big story this week, they have maneuvered their way into the number two pick heading into week 18, a chance to get to the number one selection with a loss and a Patriots win against the Bills in the final week of the season. We'll wrap up hour number three coming up next. Then we'll get back into some college football, as it is a huge day of college football. We've got our first college football quarterfinal and three more tomorrow. We will wrap up the show with that as we're with you till 10:30. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Wrapping up hour number three of this special New Year's Eve edition of Force Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. It's been a fun show. We spent most of the show on the Titans, which this week, this is the first time in a long time the Titans have had an opportunity to be at the very top of the NFL draft. Rumors about Shedeur Sanders. We talked about trading back. The last thing I want to get into before we move on is a texter, Carson, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, mentions, give me McMillan as our first pick in the draft. He doesn't want the mediocre quarterbacks. He's willing to wait another year and wait until we get a good veteran via trade or something else. We haven't talked about the idea that the Titans could take. We did mention Travis Hunter. I will say right now, I'll make a Jared Stillman guarantee that if the Titans are picking in the top two, they will either pick a quarterback or they will trade out.
Yeah.
Because
you didn't do the horn that he does.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
There we go. Nick's is better than mine. You cannot waste. Not that Tet McMillan, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Johnson.
Luther Burden.
All these guys are really good prospects. And if you took them at 8 or 9, I think it would be great. But if you have a top two pick, you cannot. You got to either get a king's ransom for it, or you got to take a quarterback.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, I'm not sold that McMillan is top two pick talent.
Yeah, like think of the last time a wide receiver went in the top two.
I mean,
I can't even.
Top three is Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
I mean,
he went fourth too.
Oh yeah.
Talking about his dad or
no junior? No.
Junior. Let's obviously, see. Corey Davis comes to mind being top five, obviously, but none that I can recall being a top two pick.
I'm looking. Highest drafted receivers. I know Sammy Watkins went early, but even like
Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase went fifth. Yeah. I don't think there's really – I mean, I'm sure there has been wide receivers who have been taken in the top two, but – it's very rare because you use those picks for premium positions, which is quarterback, edge rusher, tackle. That's pretty much it. There isn't a tackle who's worth it. Abdul Carter is a really good player. I don't think he's worth a top two pick, which means you either got to trade it or you got to go quarterback. Amari Cooper was a fourth overall pick. Sammy Watkins was fourth overall. But there's really no one. Justin Blackmon, fifth overall.
Wonder what happened to him.
Yeah, that one busted. Donnie Avery, or no, that's a second round pick. No. Yes, Donnie Avery, I believe. Wait, never mind. I read that wrong. He was the first pick of the second round.
I just correct.
Calvin Johnson was the last time
a
wide receiver went in the top two. He went second overall to the Lions after Jamarcus Russell. Raiders didn't take Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, quarterback.
That's all I'm saying is it, you cannot take.
I think you have more holes to fill on this team desperately than wide receiver.
Right. Is Tet McMillan going to turn your team, give your team four more wins? No.
No.
Is he going to drastically change the trajectory of this franchise? No. Shedeur Sanders might.
He may not.
He might not. He could drastically change it in the wrong direction. Which would be hard. There's not much room to go down. But
0-17.
Yeah. Oh, no one's ever done it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Could he be the one to do it?
I would love to see that.
He would be a
way to go, Dion.
How about it?
You gave us a record breaker.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up here on the Titans, the reaction next Monday from Jared Stillman if the Titans beat the Texans.
Oh God!
I am just like
the meltdown.
That is what has been going through my head. Of like we kind of mentioned it a few times. Of oh, the Titans are going to tighten. They're going to win the game on Sunday, kind of jokingly. But if they do, Jared might open the show just at a full scream.
Robbie and I talked about this last night. That's right. I just acknowledged Robbie Stanley. So there you go. We talked about this last night. We've come to the terms that. It doesn't matter who the Tennessee Titans pick in the draft. On that draft show, you are going to hear, no, 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 no. No matter who it is. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. If the Titans are picking in the top two, I think you're going to have a decent idea of who they're going to pick going into it. It's not like picking seventh where Joe Alt could get stolen two picks in front of you and neighbors could go the pick in front of you. Like, it's not it, – picking in the top two, you typically have a pretty decent idea heading into the draft who you're going to pick. So I don't know if there's going to be a big Jared throwing his head to the desk moment this year on the draft show.
It's possible.
I think it's going to happen.
How hilarious would it be, though, if there could be, I guess, if the Titans pick first and Jared's talked himself into Shedeur all week long and then they draft back. Cam Ward.
Or they trade back.
Or they trade back. Man.
I'll be a happy man if they do that. Trade back, baby. Just keep trading back.
I just
with the first overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, please no.
Nick Frazier would
I'd be happy, but no. Like, you can't go pick a guy like that number one overall. No. You're just wasting a number one overall pick. You just waste a year of being terrible for a player that you don't even know.
Results don't matter, gentlemen.
With the first overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select Vontae Mack, linebacker, Ohio State.
Over Bo Callahan?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
No one came to his birthday party.
Aw. Yeah. Man, I'd get a guy birthday.
Brock Vandegrift.
No, he's retired. He retired.
Cutter Bowley.
The greatest quarterback ever.
That's right.
I did see on Twitter a couple days ago, people were saying that the Texans might go all out for this win because the Titans are wearing the Oilers jerseys.
Please do.
PK had the great tweet of...
Oh, whoa, whoa. No. There's one PK.
Sorry. Paul Kaharsky.
That's Kaharsky.
Paul Kaharsky said that... He was like, the Texans will or will not try and win this game on Sunday. The uniforms that the Titans are wearing will have absolutely nothing to do with it, which I think is really true. I think the Titans are going to lose on Sunday. I mean, the fact that Brian Callahan has already come out and said he's going to get some younger guys some reps and he's going to play both quarterbacks, it doesn't seem like he's all that intrigued on going all out for this one.
He doesn't seem all that intrigued in his two quarterbacks either.
Right, like, he's going to try and win the game. There's no tanking that's going on here. He's going to do everything he can on Sunday to try and win the game. But the personnel that's going to be going in, I don't think is going to be that of a team playing for its life.
Mm.
So, we'll see. Again, if the Titans do win on Sunday, I think Jared might, he might blow a gasket on a Titans Monday. But... We'll have to see.
I'll just say this. If the Titans lose by 17 or more points, I will make you guys breakfast and bring it in on Saturday. Or the following Saturday.
The following Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for the fun of it.
Blackstone pancakes.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Breakfast burritos.
We'll be back on the air this Saturday, so we'll find other things to talk about other than Shadur for our usual show. But the Saturday after that, I guess we'll have plenty to talk about.
And
leading into the college football playoff semifinals. Actually, those might have already happened at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to recap it.
Those take place midweek, like on a Wednesday or Thursday, I believe.
The Coach New Oregon Duck victory celebration.
Oh.
It's going to happen.
Oh,
okay.
It'll happen. I'll wear the hat.
Quickly before we move on, because we're not going to talk Titans on the other side. We're going to get back to college football as we get into our final half hour of the show. But Nevada Josh on our text line says, what if the Titans had the number one overall pick and the Raiders wanted to trade up and gave them Brock Bowers?
Mm.
I like the idea, but it would take more than Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
You'd have to probably trade Bowers, your first-round pick, and a second or third, I think, would get that done.
I mean, you go back to April. We started this show. My very first rant. Who was ringing the bell for Brock Bowers?
Me. All of us were, I think.
Me.
You said it the most, but I...
It was me.
I wanted Brock Bowers as much as the next guy, because I thought he was the only blue chip prospect left on the board at seven. I like J.C. Latham. I think he'll be a pretty good left tackle, but Brock Bowers might be a Hall of Famer at tight end. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are going to move on from the Titans. 30 minutes left in the show. We're leading you into the ReliaQuest Bowl between Alabama and Michigan. When we come back, we're going to get back into the college football quarterfinals. Penn State and Boise State tonight. Broncos and Nittany Lions. Who's moving on to the semis? That's up next. You're on this special New Year's Eve edition of Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.